Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Simcast. It is, what date are we on? The 26th of October in the year of our Emperor 2023. Care to add anything to that?
The Imperial date today is our check number of zero, because that's where we are in the galaxy. We are at point zero because of Holy Terror. It is the day 298 of the 23rd year of the third millennium. Hello, everyone. Hello. God.
Anyone would think that we're nerds.
Absolute Nerdatron 5000 here.
And you know what? I don't even care. I'm just quickly, a minute, I'm just going to quickly do this to make sure I get it correct. Right, and for those of you of a the star date today is 101413.26. That takes you down to the hours and minutes.
Ooh, that's quite precise. That's more
I
than
know.
Imperial. That's quite the Imperial date. That's
actually the Star Trek Online one as well. That's not the TNG ones. That might be slightly different to what I've said before. But according to Star Trek Online, today's star date is 101413.26.
On Star Trek FM.
I could do that. Especially as I have one Star Trek dog, and we're about to get another Star Trek dog.
I just imagine you just start going like, "Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from."
No, that's not how he talks. No.
Oh, dear.
When you go to the vets and what's your dog's name? And we go in brackets, William Riker. William Riker. And they go, is that, apparently someone said biker. I was like, no,
it's with an R, not a B.
It's with an R. Oh, how is it spelled? R, what? No. I'm sorry. Have you been in a cave for the last 35 years? Honestly. Yes, and the second one's a bit of a deep cut, though, because the second one is either going to be called Shax, which is a character from Lower Decks, which, if you haven't watched Lower Decks, is...
No, I'm not going to know. I'm genuinely not going to know.
His nickname for everybody, he's the head of security on the Cerritos, which is the hero ship in Lower Decks, and his nickname for everybody who works insecurity with him is, or his friends, is Baby Bear, which is pretty much what an Elkhound looks like, so kind of fitting. But now we've also, apparently, because we're not, we think people are going to think he's like, I don't know, so apparently he might be called Jack or Jax or some weird thing of that. If people mishear it, I was like, it's a bit of a stretch. So the alternative is Pike, as in Christopher Pike from Strange New Worlds, Captain of the Enterprise.
Don't tell him your name, Pike.
Exactly, and that's why I don't want to call him Pike. Because you'll just get all the old farts doing Dad's Army jokes.
It's like half the listeners are like, I know that one.
not us woke Trek fans, unfortunately.
That's
because apparently Star Trek has only been woke since in the last since Discovery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. As I down my pint,
but
that's none of my business.
I have to be honest. I've seen very, very little of Star Trek. Genuinely, very.
That's
very
fine. You know how I always sort of said, and then you'll probably say, I don't even watch that either. You know how, or you might not know because you weren't born, people of a certain age who listen to this show, who are about the same age as me, will know that in the 80s, you were either a fan of Spandau Ballet or A-ha.
And see, I like A-ha. A-ha so is pretty good.
So do I. They won me over the pencil drawn video that got parodied in Family Guy. Chris, where have you been? I don't know. And that was a terrible Chris, I'm sorry. And I maintain that in the same vein, you're either a fan of Star Trek or you're a fan of Star Wars. And then people go, well, what about Babylon 5 or Stargate? It was Stargate, honestly.
Stargate, what a time. I watched a little bit of Stargate when I was growing up. Not
why? Were you
not
bored?
Not because I wanted to, but because it was...
I was watching it against my will.
Yes, it was, you know, I was like 8 years old and I was...
You didn't know any better.
I didn't know any better. I didn't have control of the remote and it was my other family members who were watching Stargate.
Oh dear. Well, so you're the ones that watched it.
Anyway,
could be worse. Could be worse. Welcome to Simcast, everyone, where for half the time you actually hear about sim racing news and assorted stuff, and then the other half of the shows you get whatever the hell this is.
As long as it's 50.1% sim racing, then the majority is sim racing, isn't it?
Well, it's better than that's actually just as good as a 51 to 49, isn't it? And we all know how binding that is.
Exactly. So at least it's a bit more clear cut, isn't it?
People paying attention can tick off their political box for the night. There we go.
Dear. We should have a Simcast bingo card and put that out on the
There's no point unfortunately, we should, except for the fact that about three quarters of them would be veering wildly off topic. They'd be like, well, I can only do that for one of the exactly. It'd be a bingo card that lasts 2 weeks.
See, that would be really actually good fun.
Which is longer than the remaining life expectancy for most people that still play bingo.
If we put that out right on the collective, we make a bingo card up and then we can see across 2 weeks who actually gets a line at a full house.
Yeah.
Of the Simcast bingo. You win nothing, but that's just life, isn't it?
A warm, fuzzy feeling. But that might be because you've forgotten to go to the loo. Again, something else that happens to people that play bingo. Again.
Anyway, that's another tangent. That's the fourth tangent in a row. I love this.
Well, you were going to, before the show, you said you were going to ask me about how the dog show went, but I feel that that's incredibly wildly off tack. Like, so, except for that, I can say that Riker has a pit garage.
I was going to say, do you have a puppy pit garage?
Yes.
And a pit stall?
Yes.
Did you mark it out with like duct tape around so no one else would encroach?
Not this time, but I will do next time.
So then no one else.
And you know how they get the little like plaque, the board above the garage that has like the driver's name, the team, the number, and some fancy graphics and stuff like that. We are doing that.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
Yeah. I like that. That's cool. Did you win a prize?
Did we win a prize? Yeah, sort of, yes.
Apart from the prize for turning up, because that's probably what you get for a school
sports day. I'll go back to warm, fuzzy feelings. And that's just a dog peeing on you. No, it's not. So obviously got the rosettes. This is all down to Steph. Steph's the one who bravely went into the ring with him. The wild cannon or grenade with the pin pulled out, as he's been over the last, pretty much since, actually. Not knowing whether he was actually going to maim a judge or anything like that, but he did not do that. Yeah, so it was all down to her entirely. All credit to her. She's done amazing work with him. So yeah, they get the rosettes and they got a bag of stuff, most of which we handed over because he doesn't eat the stuff that came with the prize. But there were some vouchers in there and whatnot, so.
No, oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Whereabouts was it held at?
Where was it? It was just outside Bridgewater. So not very far.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, so
I didn't think where Bridgewater was, and the first thing that came to my mind was Bridge End. I was like, "That's not there."
No. No, I'm not. I'm not going that far. No,
I was like, "That's a bit further round."
Yeah, no. It's funny actually because obviously we've been talking about getting Riker and stuff like for a long time, and one of the lads, members of the Gaming Athlete, is it the Gaming Athlete Listeners Collective? That's what it is. The Gasthletes server, as we have on Discord, jamming over there. They inspired by what we were starting to think about doing. Riker actually got their dog qualified for crafts before we have. So credit to them. So yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah. Should we actually talk about some?
Yes, we shall.
No, I think we should probably talk about some racing stuff.
Yes, we shall. I'm not even sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I like to think that the people like hearing our absolute nonsense. This is the... Dear listener. Yes, people who've been listening to us for a very long time know that we do have, not a script, but like pointed points of things what we want to talk about as and when we possibly get around to it. That was bad English for a reason. That said, we try to make this as same with me, I have guests on. We just try to make it as natural as we can. It's just mates sitting around talking about stuff that is on the peripheral basis and racing related. Yeah. I mean,
the first thing that just come to my head as well when you said bad English for a reason was literally like, if I had an indie band, that would be what it would be called.
Bad English for a reason.
That'd literally be like my indie band.
That's actually, yeah. Like that, yeah.
It would just go around like touring like small, like local places, like in pubs and stuff like that. It's like, oh, we're bad English for a reason.
We want you to talk proper like what we does.
Got like a really, really thick, like heavy Scouse accent drummer at the back as well.
I don't know why, but the music in my head is, I can't remember what the name of the, Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
The band in that, I can't remember what it's called. But it's that sort of, in my head, it's that sort of music.
Yes, I can't remember, but I watched that the other week as well.
Very cool. It's an underrated film.
First time ever I watched that, I got told I had to watch it. So I actually enjoyed that film. That was a good film. Anyway, sim racing.
GSI, Gomez Sim Industries, they have, I think it's called the Hyper P1, which is their top end wheel. We have mentioned it on this show before. Sadly, we have not had. Whoops, that was some painting stuff falling over. It's too much Warhammer going on in this room at the minute. Yeah, so they have the Hyper P1, which is their like top level wheel at the moment with a lovely screen on it. But if you've decided that I want to buy a very expensive sim wheel that it looks like the Hyper P1, but I don't want all the nonsense of the screen, well, that's now something that you can do because GSI has announced the Hyper SL, which is basically a screenless version of the Hyper P1. Pre-orders beginning in November for this wheel.
That is a work of art. I really like the look of that wheel.
Yeah.
I don't like the price tag, but I like the...
Well, that's the so 1,377 quid is what it costs for the Hyper P1, the screen version. But they take the touchscreen out, so I'm going to guess the price will be slightly less, which is fine.
I mean,
it really ought to be kind of ought to be. If I'm spending that kind of money on a wheel like that for the sort of vehicles that I am likely to be driving with it, I want a screen.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
I don't know unless you're, because the thing is, even if you were thinking, oh, I want like a Formula E style wheel that doesn't have a screen. So you'd be kind of thinking something on the lines of like what Williams have. That doesn't even look like that. So it's a very cool, don't get me wrong, it's a very, very cool wheel, and it's very, very cool that they are making it. But I don't know why you'd want it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the look of it, and I've just seen the picture of the back of it, and that is a lot of flappery at the back of that.
Well, the top, it would be the same as all of them, whereby it will normally come with shifters and clutches, and the top set of pedals will be will be optional extras.
Oh well, you can do like a brake bias and shit.
Yeah, or DRS or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's cool.
I
guess you would really want a screen, but then
the thing is, if you're going for a screenless wheel that you want to ultimately drive things like formula cars or something like that, why wouldn't you go for a much cheaper option like the F-Core or from Cube, or even GSI's own entry level one, which is, I think it's called the X29. I just think if you're going to... And okay, they probably come with some less buttony options than that one does, but... Yeah, I'm not super convinced.
You can get more for your money. Well, you can get more for your money for less money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. I know Cosworth do one now. Obviously, it's a screened one. So if you didn't want to go down the... In fact, I'll just negate my own argument, because I know actually that the Cosworth one is actually a lot more money than the Porsche one is. But obviously you've got the Porsche RSR / hypercar wheel that you can get from Grid / SimLab, which is a lot of money. That's the official version from Porsche. The unofficial version from VPG? I think it's VPG.
That rings
like
a bell,
that.
Yeah.
But
because it's from Porsche, that's worth every penny.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Absolutely worth
obviously, that's a lot less. In fact, it's basically the exact same wheel, but half the price. And literally, the difference is an inch smaller screen and slightly less LED functionality, and that's kind of it. You know, you've got the Mercedes option that we talked about the other week. Again, no screen, but that's an official Mercedes wheel from Cube. I don't think that's priced particularly badly. Again, that's probably cheaper still because it doesn't have a screen. I sort of struggle to see who that wheel's for. Like, if, yeah. Because you'd want a screen. I can't think of any prototypes or anything like that that don't have an integrated screen in their wheel.
And it just gives you less things on your actual monitor and everything like that. So you've got everything like your brake temperature, your bias, your pressures, all of that is all integrated into your screen. You can scroll through that while you're doing 210 down the Mulsanne.
The thing is, if you're not worried about that, if that's not really your bag and you don't want the extra screen, because I know, like with the setup that I'm kind of planning, I will probably get the the extra add-on screen that you can get from Grid for when I use wheels that don't have screens, and I will have those. I'll have it for like I'll have that option for WRC touring car style wheel or older when I'm driving like 90s, early noughties F1 cars.
One GT Revival as well.
Exactly. So you know, so there are occasions when you want to drive something, you know, in a sort of authentic way, and you don't want the screen on your actual wheel. So fine. But yeah, I don't know. It's very, like we said, it's a very, very pretty wheel. It's a very, I'm sure it'll be, you know, competitively priced considering the features it's missing. But I just don't, I don't know who it's for. And I think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, it doesn't have a place. That is.
Staying with things that I think are possibly a little more expensive than they perhaps should be, Secret Lab, purveyor of fancy office chairs. I mean, pretty much name a gaming genre and there's probably a Secret Lab chair for it. But I think they do Game of Thrones ones as well, weirdly.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. And I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're based around here somewhere. I think they're based in South Devon. But I might be wrong. They've released its new Titan Evo. Of course, Oracle Red Bull Racing gaming chair.
Got to get the sponsor in, don't you?
Oh, got to get the sponsor in.
got to get that shoehorn that in sideways.
Yeah. It's actually, don't get me wrong, it's actually quite a nice chair, but basically you're paying for and chair with a fancy graphic on it. So in true Redline Racing standard methodology, when they put Redline Racing name to Heusinkveld pedals, let's just add a few extra £100 to the price for the name. You can get an MV1 or SP11 version.
Oh,
if you get the SP11 version, does that mean that one of the wheels will? Yeah, the wheels will generally be quite a lot slower around your office.
I genuinely had to look at that, and I had to go MV1. What? Why do I? Who? What's MV1?
Most valuable one.
Yeah, and then who's SP?
Slower partner.
Yes,
is now officially his nickname. which means
do you get an added like back support for the Max Verstappen one because he's like carrying the points of the team? Do you get like a
no, but the SP11 one will lower your productivity by probably 25 to 30%.
Your lap times go off by half a second.
Yeah.
For no reason at all. Your pit stops are like 0.3 of a second longer every time.
And your bosses become strangely racist towards you for no apparent reason. allegedly. That's not even allegedly, that's actually happened. But anyway. So that's a thing that you can get now, apparently. They don't get me wrong, they look very comfortable, and I'm sure they'll be very lovely, but. Oh, dear. Oh, what do you want?
Is it going to make me faster around?
It's an office chair, so no. I can speak from experience. Do not use an office chair on wheels for sim racing. You will damage it beyond repair. Yeah. Especially if you're a chunky chap such as myself. I didn't actually check to see what the price was. Was the price £539?
Excluding shipping and taxes. Oof.
Dear. It's just a bit much. Yeah. Anyway. Meanwhile, GT Omega, with whom I have purchased and been lucky enough to enjoy many things from in the past for many, many years, they've unveiled its new Pro Series Gen 2 gaming chair. Choice of 11 colours. Actually, they're quite nice. They're a lot more subtle than the one I had.
That's a lot of colours.
Yeah, so that's quite cool. I hope one of them is hot pink. It won't be. with a much more happy price tag, happy price tag of £189.95 English or Scottish pence, or Welsh, or Northern Irish pence.
It'd take you a while to get to this, the Welsh pence, because you have to be driving at 20 miles an hour for most of it.
Yeah. 11 different colour combinations of choice of PVC or fabric coverings, so that's quite nice. It does look nice.
It does.
It's just, and I've had a GT Omega rig. I've had a GT Omega office chair. I still have the GT, even though the rest of my stuff is gone, I still have the GT Omega mat under me, which has withstood the strains of constant use for a number of years and cat sick and God knows what else. And it's stood it reasonably well.
I like how one of the claim to testaments for that is cat sick.
It's typical cats. They have a laminate floor and they'll just aim for the soft thing. It's just what they do. But yeah, so given the two options you just have there, I would probably personally, this show is not sponsored by GT Omega. They don't have any impact on what we say or do or anything like that. But I would probably recommend the GT Omega one over the Red Bull one, just purely because A, the price is a hell of a lot less.
See, you could, even for the same price as one of those Red Bull ones, you could take the arms off of three of those GT Omegas and have a GT Omega sofa.
Now that's an idea.
See, this is why I do engineering, isn't it?
I don't know why, but my head went, you could take the arms off of them and have some kind of hand-to-hand combat battle situation. I don't know why.
So
that's where
have,
my head.
You could have like a GT Omega chaise longue. That's
kinky.
What you need.
Kinky.
Imagine that in like your office sort of thing, and then you're just like, cool. You know, between stints, you can just fall asleep and everything's all cushy.
True. Right, let's. Okay, let's have a look at. Oh, this will be something that excites actually most of us, to be honest. So, some of you may remember a while ago, we were talking about how awesome it was having the MSA running their own events, predominantly on iRacing. May have come up about, wouldn't it be really cool if there was a Formula Ford festival?
I can say I called this about
6 months ago. Oh, congrats to former host of this show, Jordan Groves, who's actually doing very, very well in the MSA FF1600 series at the moment. I believe I'm pretty sure he's scored points in pretty much every race so far.
Oh, nice.
So I'm sure he'll correct me because he does like to do the well actually in our chat. Love you, Jordan. you are not missed. He's gone to a better place. The BRSCC or British Racing and Sports Car Club, who I'm going to say they oversee or they are the sporting body associated or affiliated with British GT amongst many, many, many other series in the UK, have announced that there is going to be a one-off race for iRacing members at Brands Hatch, the iRacing FF1600 Festival.
Hey!
How cool is that? It's actually happening.
I'm really happy this is happening, to the point of if this is live streamed, it will be live streamed. It will be, I will know it's live streamed. I will be tuning in to watch this.
Yeah. So this is going to be the, there'll be an identical 1.6 litre Ray FF 1600 cars. And this will be taking place on the 17th to 18th of November.
It's going to be intense.
I think so.
Good luck to anyone who has taken part into this, because it is going to be
intense. Well, no doubt Jordan is.
It's, like, these cars are insane.
Mm.
The Formula Fords are pretty cool.
So the event will consist of a warm-up, 8-minute qualifying session, 2 heat races, the last dash qualifier, and a 30-driver 20-lap final race on the Brands Hatch Indy circuit. So yes, intense is definitely the right word to use there.
There is going to be many ascendants into Druids.
Yeah.
From like 5 cars back, and it's gonna be like, yay! What's the worst that can happen? Everything.
Yeeting it into Paddock Hill. Yeah. 4 abreast.
Which does happen. Like, if anyone anywhere doesn't know what this series and in real life is, watch them go around Silverstone National Circuit. That's sound like the most entertaining circuit
it is.
On. You have trains of about 8 or 9 cars all slipstreaming each other, and the guy at the back is just one by one just eats people, because the slipstream in these cars is insane, especially when you have like 2 of them. But yeah,
So the time slots for those, these are all GMT times, so the time slots for those is Friday the 17th, 10 o'clock, and then Saturday the 18th, 7 a.m., midday, and 4 p.m. On the Saturday is your time slots to take part in that event. I think that's awesome.
That's going to be good fun.
I think so. And to be honest, I mean, you just alluded to it. Okay, we've got this one. MSA iRacing. Can we have the Walter Hayes next?
Oh.
I actually think it's funny, actually, because I think Brands Hatch gives you a very specific challenge for these cars. But I actually, like, as you've literally just been saying, I think the Walter Hayes on the Silverstone National with all the drafting and late overtakes, I actually think that's probably marginally more fun, because the risk of utter death is that much less.
Well, exactly, because you've got on the Silverstone National, you've got 3 places where one of them is kind of joined together, being like the start finish line and Pops Corner, and then like into Maggots and Beckett. But like, you've got all these different places where if you have even 1% less of a like momentum run,
yeah,
it's worth down the end of the straight, because you're all in identical cars. It's all down to your setup, and it's all down to you and how much Weetabix you've had. Like, I would say something else, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind. That's a bit more friendly. But yeah, it's how much like talent you've got at the end of the straight to drag your way up, sort of thing. And like 1 mile an hour difference in these cars is huge. It, like, momentum wise down the end of the straight is absolutely mental.
I was saying, of course, for those who don't know, you're actually speaking from experience, aren't you? So
yes, I got a little bit of experience in this, yeah. Working on these cars a little bit, yeah.
So there we go. Switching sports ever so slightly, really quite obviously. One of the most anticipated games, I think, certainly of this year, sorry Forza. Probably of the last few years as well. Sorry, Gran Turismo. EA Sports WRC is now available for preload. Obviously, this comes out, I think, next week. Yes, 31st of October. So, what's the date? 25th. So, yeah, early next week. You'll be able to actually be rolling through the stages, hopefully not literally, I might add. I've yet to see anybody really say anything bad about this so far. This genuinely looks like the rally game I think we've all wanted for a very long time.
I think, and this is a statement, I think this is going to be the rally game of the general, like the quote unquote, the generation that is going to be the Richard Burns rally. Do you know what I'm trying to?
I think you're probably right. And it's interesting because I know Jimmy Broadbent did a 2-hour live stream, and I fully expect that come because that's all they were allowed to do. And there were certain rallies that they weren't allowed to go on, or certain things they weren't allowed to do. I fully expect him to do a couple of good live streams on this when it actually is out. But he's been hugely positive about it so far. And most people who I've watched the live streams of, everyone's said the handling's really good. Everyone has said the cars look awesome, the graphic. I think there's been some optimization issues, but everyone was basically playing a bit of a beta. So it wasn't, fully the final product that they were all enjoying. So yeah. One will assume there'll be some optimization stuff done. But it's looking very, very, very good. Makes me very jealous. I haven't got a rally wheel and a handbrake. And
I'm really jealous because I'm going to be watching people make videos of them driving around in a Mark II Escort and going sideways and all this, that, and the other. I really want to do that. I really, really want to do that.
This is something really cool that I saw recently. So, Grid, SimLab, do a rally shifter. Right. So you know how a lot... I don't know how prevalent it is these days, but I certainly remember it from like the old Peugeot 206s and some of the other cars like the Citroens and that. You had a shifter on one side only, and it was extra big, and you could it was literally a push me pull you shifter. So you never had to take your hand off the wheel to shift, but it was a big. You could just do it with your right hand, up, up, down, down.
Yes, I think I know what you're on about. Yeah,
and that is something that you can get, and I really quite like the idea of that.
So you proper rally style, that is.
Yeah,
that is proper.
I don't know whether that's what they have in the newer cars, particularly. It's been a while since I've really paid attention to onboards, but I certainly know that it was a thing that you had back along. So. Pretty cool though. But I just can't wait for this to come out. I think it's gonna be awesome.
Are you gonna get it?
Not right away.
Not right away.
No. Priorities and all. Gotta be sensible.
I've got no space to do any sim racing, but that might be changing soon.
Good.
That might be changing. You heard it here first.
Because I don't know. I actually don't know if the guys talked about the because they sort of set up a bit of a roadmap of things that were coming or things that were included in the pass. But the pass isn't like it's not like a pass like you get loads of like. You buy in advance and you get like the DLC as it comes out kind of pass. It's very much just stuff within the game.
What's already out, if that makes sense. You don't have to.
Yeah, I think so. And different car, like extra car liveries and decals and gloves and suits and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, fair enough.
But I think...
A little bit different.
Yeah, I think the only sort of content that is meant to be coming is the is it Easter? I think it's called the Eastern European Rally. I think it's either just happened or it's about to happen. So that will be coming in game at some point. But yeah, there's just nothing I've watched or images I've seen or previews that I've heard. None of it has been like game damaging, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's not like you're reviewing anything from
Turn 10.
Like, Turn 10. I wasn't going to say it.
Sorry. But no,
not like these reviews are built from the ground up.
Oh, God. Really? But yeah, so I just awesome game. And, you know, I know we poke fun, but there is a very serious element of, you know, games shouldn't have been released in the state that it's been released in. Some of the, you know, to be driving around, I watched something with Tony Kanaan. Was it Tony Kanaan? I think it was Tony Kanaan. The other day, and he's driving around and half the track disappears under him.
I mean, and that happens all the time.
That's apparently really common at the moment.
Yeah, but that's the Back to the Future DLC. So
where we the hack of where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you hit 88 miles an hour, it's just done.
But you know, there's the from everything I'm hearing, there's a lot, unfortunately, not optimal. You know, optimal for that title at the moment, which is pretty disappointing. You know, and there's been some pretty influential names on social media saying this isn't really good enough.
Now, unfortunately, this is a little bit of a tangent, but unfortunately about this is
warning. Tangent approaching.
Yeah, hard left at the tangent, six right to four.
caution, don't comment. Yeah, caution, don't comment cut. Section.
Unfortunately, with that though, I don't remember ever having that sort of like track disappearing and all that like shenanigans happening when I pre-ordered Forza 4 many, many years ago. I don't remember having that sort of issues. I remember getting the game and just doing gaming things.
Yeah.
And jumping straight into like esporty things and organized stuff.
I'm sure there were patches for Forza 4, but I couldn't tell you what they were.
They weren't game breaking like your track disappearing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's a bit of a shame. It is a real shame.
So that's my little tangent there. I can't remember that ever happening.
I'm not being funny. It's barely a tangent because it was still about sim racing. So you know you've got to work on that, mate. You've got to pump those numbers. These are rookie tangents.
We're actually up to seven. I've actually been doing a tangent count. We're all right.
These are rookie tangents. You've got to pump those tangents. you put something in here about Gran Turismo 7. Why would you do that?
I would do that because Gran Turismo has a cool little new car that they've created.
Another one.
Absolutely non-existent, but takes styling from your Nissan GTR at the back, a Honda Civic new type at the front, like, you know, mixed with the guy from Red Dwarf as well. This is if he turned into a Transformer. Yeah, if he turned into a Transformer, this is what he'd look like.
Do you know what's really, really, really weird is the fact that it has the R on the GT. So this is the Nissan GTR. I'm just going to call it a concept.
It's a massive concept. It's a hyperforce.
The R is so prevalent on the front of the car that actually, yes, I see exactly what you mean. And that could that very much emulates the FL5 Civic Type R.
It does, doesn't it?
It really kind of does.
So this is now going to be called the Nissan Red Dwarf.
Type R.
Type R.
Concepts in GT aren't a new thing. Them becoming reality, G also kind of not a new thing. Witness the Bugatti Bolide, or Bolide, or whatever you want to call it. Pretty sure the Vulcan or the Valhalla was also fundamentally there's been a couple of others as well that have sort of edged their way into reality from the brains of Polyphony Digital. So what's interesting here is the way Polyphony is actually involved in it is they've actually created the GUI for it.
Mm.
Which, again, is not actually a new thing, because I'm pretty certain in the whether it's still the current one, but when the current shape came out, one of the things that they said was all like the G-dial readings and all that was designed by Polyphony. So it's more of a continuation of the relationship.
Yeah, and then like the next stage of their partnership sort of thing.
I'm going to say this right now. It ain't a pretty thing.
It's a bit sharp. I think that's the way I can sort of describe that is it's a bit sharp. I don't know what's going on really with the side. It's got no door handles.
It's got no handles.
No fork handles.
No fork handles.
it's got no handles. But it does go.
We're looking for O's.
Looking for O's.
Oh, there's four at the back. Yeah, that's all right.
But yeah, depending on what mode you have in this car. So if you've got it in sort of normal mode, it's in like GT mode, apparently. It's in blue and then it goes red. The whole dashboard, everything goes red when you're in race mode.
That would upset me.
So when you're in red, when your car goes red, your car is angry.
I'm not being funny though. It's also a massive shout out to any members of the constabulary nearby. I wasn't speeding, officer. Was like, well, you were.
So
your whole car was red.
It's like, yeah. It's just angry. It's just the air around. It's angry. It's how it feels today.
it's a bit strange. Interesting. It's interesting to see where car design is going, certainly internally at the moment. There's a lot of this kind of like floating mood lighting and stuff. But the Mercedes do it exceptionally well. I only know this because Mum actually has one. And it does look very nice. The sort of wraparound digital displays that basically go across the width of the cabin is a thing now. Porsche do it. I think a lot of manufacturers do it now.
Yeah, it's kind of like the styling sort of way. Well, I can't remember what the word is, but the styling mood as it's going, if that makes sense.
That sounds like you should have some sort of a beret on and a scarf and standing in some sort of art gallery. I totally got where you were going there.
Yeah, you know. well, I spent a lot of time when I was in university in art circles, forcibly being put into art circles.
I suspect you were probably there for different reasons.
Anyway, moving on.
That's not for radio.
Tangent.
Yeah. But yeah, so potentially what we've got there then is the first sighting of what will become the next Nissan GTR.
Which is a shame.
It is and it isn't. It do, the GTR does need to move on, because I think the design it currently has is bloody tired.
Yeah, I agree.
And probably has been for about 8 editions. Mm. It's great if you're a Gran Turismo fanboy collector and you just want to like Pokemon every version of the Nissan Skyline GTR or whatever that's in the game. Or the Mazda MX-5 or the Subaru Impreza, they're two other good ones, or the RX-7. Yes, we have 800 cars in our car list. Yes, but 400 of them are actually the same car.
It's with a different registration plate.
Yeah, slightly different lights. Oh, that one's got a bonnet vent. Oh. Anyway. But yeah, so... Interesting. The Nissan Sky Civic.
Yep.
Sponsored or the Nissan Red. GT Type R, where the R stands for Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf, yeah.
Excuse me. I suppose it's gonna have an onboard computer, but excuse me, sirs. Are you sure you want me to change indicator? I will need to change the bulb.
Going into race mode.
Oh, dear. God bless Crichton. Marvellous. Marvellous. I don't even watch Red Dwarf anymore. I mean, I obviously do. Because I'm old.
I haven't for a number of cycles around this earth. Or around the sun, shall I say. But, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Where to next?
What IQ did Hotley have?
Uh,
104? 6,000. Oh. Which was the same IQ as?
Harold Vorderman?
6,000 PE teachers.
I was going to say, I don't know.
Anyway, that's enough Red Dwarf. Another one you can tick off the box tonight. We must finish off, otherwise Mr. Flipper will get very cross. Thrustmaster, what's that about? A new mobile app.
Yes, Thrustmaster. I thought this was just a heap of poop, but it's actually quite intuitive.
Go on.
So, it is the thing that you never knew you needed until you download it and then think, actually, that's a really good idea. So, you've got your Thrustmaster wheel and you're 3/10 off in qualifying. You can't remember why. You don't know why. And then you think to yourself, right, I need to change some wheel parameters, but I can't be asked to go out of the game, change the wheel parameters, and reload my game.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do it now on my phone. Because you've always got your phone.
Okay. Well,
you've always got your phone on, yeah?
Yeah.
So you've had all like the mobile apps where you can use them as like the like rev counters and things like that. That was like a new thing a few years ago.
Yes.
Which was, again, pretty cool. Fair enough. Fair play. So now you can change all like your... basically just your wheel parameters, your button layouts, everything. All from your phone. And then you just load it back in and then you're back out in the pit lane.
That is actually quite cool.
Exactly. You see the thing, you feel, oh, I could just log in, log out again. That's fine. What you've been doing for years, no problem at all. But as soon as you get this, you're never going to go back, are you? Because you're like, oh, I'll just quickly load it up on my phone. Probably could even do it doing like 210 down the Mulsanne, to be honest.
Your go-to all the time? Honestly.
I don't know. That is kind of a go-to. Just the Mulsanne straight, 210, LMP1.
Is it because it's the only thing that you can actually do?
Yeah, to be fair, that is
No, not the ETG officers. Just. Goodness me. Sorry, so I happened to click on the bottom of that page. I just happened to click on something that happened to say GT Revival because I'm a magpie and I want to learn more about that game. And there's now pictures of the Ferrari 550.
There is. There
driving is. Around. It's the, that is, and I can tell you because I'm a sad sod. That is the BMS Scuderia Italia.
It is indeed. I thought I'd already seen this, so I didn't mention it. I was like, I'm sure I've seen that. But no, it is new. That is a new thing.
And the other thing that's new is further down in a section on this article that we're looking at, it says graphics, is a picture of Interlagos. And I thought that was real because the grass...
It's 3D.
And the shade, yeah, but not just that, the shading on the grass has its own shadow.
Yeah, there is a lot of life going on that grass.
And there's a picture of the Lister Storm parked in the grass, which looks like it hasn't been cut for a very long time. And it shows how it compresses and collapses the grass when you drive across it. That's when you're driving it at speed, you ain't going to notice this kind of thing. But in the replays, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to look really good, like when you see people literally doing Colin McRae-ing across in your Scuderia 550. Isn't that the one that Colin McRae drove?
Yeah, so he drove the 550 with Rickard Rydell. I want to say Peter Cox.
I think you are right on that one.
But it does look really rather spectacular. He's also Ian Bell's also recently posted a bit of that on the 13th. He posted a picture of the new Ferrari GT3. Which nomenclature I will continue to forget, at Sebring. It looks like sunrise. Looking just beautiful. Yes, and he posted a lot of pictures of this grass and how gorgeous it is. Blimey.
Never before has Sim Racer been bamboozled by grass.
Grass? No, but the thing is, and this is what I think people tend to forget when they play these games, and this is one of the things that we were so disappointed about, and I know we're coming to the end of the show, but we're going to say it anyway. It is one of the things that we were so disappointed about Forza with, was because they've had all this time, and they've said, oh, the circuits are built from the ground up, blah, 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 blah. They're not updated to their current form. Spa is a great example of that, and they populate it with loads of stuff that's not relevant, you know, tents here, big wheels, fireworks, big Forza of branded flags, blah 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 blah, which is a complete irrelevance. But the fundamentals aren't done right, and I sort of think when I say fundamentals, I mean things like Armco that actually looks like it's made of metal, you know. Grass that looks like actual grass, curbs that look like actual concrete curbs that look like a different material to the other things around them, and, you know, occlude the light in ways that are different to the other materials around them. Things like that. That's important.
It just makes the experience more immersive.
Yeah, 100%.
And I know... Everyone, like quite a lot of people say, like, oh, iRacing is the best because of XYZ and whatever. And I get that, but the graphics in iRacing are very dated.
They're not terrible, and there are ways to make them look better, but yes, you are correct.
And when you go, I know you shouldn't go offline and things like that, but when you do, and when you do hit the old terra firma and the street furniture or the circuit furniture, you do notice that the graphics and the street furniture isn't exactly up to 2023 standards of where it is, if that makes sense. Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see what Assetto Corsa 2 brings us as well, because I suspect, because ACC's been very good in that regard. I think those circuits and the way they're presented look very, very strong. I think AMS2's done a very good job with their circuits and how they look. And going by what we're seeing from GT Revival, it's the same.
So, exactly. And wow. You've got to get with the times, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because
people's software that they have is getting so good, and you have to jump with it to make the game match people's software, because there's only so much that you can do by your own graphics card or your own, do you know what I mean, like to boost it up for the developer doing that work. Where you've got to then now extend that even further to then run further now with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was that random find whilst we've been on the show.
That is good grass, though. I'm not going to lie.
It's amazing grass, isn't it?
It's good grass.
That's good. That'll be that good grass, that is.
Please, could that be the show title? That's a good bit of grass, that.
Ah, good bit of grass. So on that horticultural bombshell, it's time to end the show. I've been Matt Hunter. Steve's getting his rake out, and we will see you in a couple of weeks with hopefully more grass. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.